We are in Matthew's Gospel. We are in chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles, you have your sermon notes, you can turn there. When I was growing up, I used to read the Hardy Boys. I loved the Hardy Boys. You know, they're three brothers, and it was always this murder mystery, always murder mystery. And it seemed like I not only had a fascination for murder, but it seems like our country has a fascination for murder and for mystery about whodunit. I think for the last, I don't know, 2 decades at least, one of the most favorite shows on TV is Law and Order, right? That most, all of us have seen it sometime or another. Some of us have it TiVo'd and we all have, you know, whatever. But we've watched it enough time to realize it's all about murder. Somebody got killed. Tammy loved Matlock, you know, and she loved Murder, She Wrote, you know, and all these different things that it seems like this country has a fascination for murder, you know, and we think, what's up with that? why do we like it so much, you know, and it just seems like it's something that is innate in our nature. I mean, from the very beginning, you know, Cain and Abel. You see that, I mean, what happened there? You know, 2 brothers. There weren't that many people on the earth, all right? And 2 brothers, they couldn't get along. And so one murders the other, you know, because of issues that were relating to just how one felt about themselves, that person, you know, how Cain felt about himself. You know, so murder is a prominent theme even in Scripture. You know, when we go through and we see that, one, it happens a lot there, and so we realize, man, this... something has happened in human nature to kind of goof us up, you know, to where it is a very, very sick thing that people do, or kill each other. And Jesus, he's going on, even in the Ten Commandments, well, 6th commandment says, thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not murder, you know. And Jesus, he is now going to kind of express this and expound upon it, upon just this age-old theme. Because what had happened is that we're going through the Sermon on the Mount, we're discovering that one, Jesus is talking about what it means to be a disciple of Christ, what it means to be a follower of Jesus, what that looks like. Last week we talked about how Jesus said, you know what, I didn't come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill it. I came to show you that, one, it's all about me. And he says those guys that have talked about it, and we're going to read through one of the antitheses of what Jesus is talking about, and there's 6 of them that we're going to go through. And antithesis is where, you recognize where Jesus said, you know, you have heard it said that, but I say unto you, you know, and when he's talking about that, he's not talking about what's in the law, but more what people have explained the law to be, how they've explained it, you know, because the Jews at that time, they would say, okay, thou shalt not murder, and say, well, what do you mean by murder? How close can I get to that without really doing it? You know? And so they'd have all kinds of rules, regulations. Somebody would explain what it meant. You know, and so they'd just try to figure out, okay, how close can I get to this thing? You know, that's part of our human nature too. Part of our human nature is when we say, okay, that's wrong to do, but how close can I get to it before it's really wrong? You know, and that's part of what we do, because we tend to have that same type of attitude. But Jesus here, he's going to talk about this thing about murder. And so in this antithesis, he's going to kind of give us this idea of, okay, what do people think it means? And now I'm going to tell you what it really means. I'm going to tell you what it really means. So read in verse 21 in chapter 5. He says, you have heard it that the ancients were told. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say unto you, everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be good before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go to fiery hell. Like I said before, I don't think Jesus ever drove the 405 freeway. Right? But no, he's trying to explain some to us here. He says, so therefore, if you're presenting your offering to on the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go first, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Make friends quickly with your opponent. Really? Make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you're still on the way with him, so that your opponent may not hand you over to the judge and the judge to the officer, and you be thrown in prison. For truly I say to you, you will not come out of there until you have paid up the last cent. You know, when we start talking about you shall not murder, that's where people go, I haven't done that. I'm good. I have not done that. I have not murdered somebody. You know, I know just talking to people who either don't have understanding of God's law or you know, just people who are far away from God, it's like, that's one of the first things they say, well, I'm not as bad as others. Those guys are murderers. They're bad. Not realizing that, one, what's in their own heart. But Jesus said this command that thou shalt not murder is so much more than just an outward action. An outward action. Right? He says it's not just a person's, because a person is more than just a body. But sometimes we murder somebody's spirit. We murder somebody's character. We murder somebody's desires, somebody else's dreams. Because a person is so much more than just a body. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. You know, there are ways of attacking people physically, but there's also ways of attacking people non-physically. You guys all remember, you know, when we were all of us growing up, you remember the thing that we would say to somebody who was bugging you, you know, calling you names? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, right?
Words hurt worse than stones.
Right? Why would we say that? We'd say that just because we didn't know what else to do, because we knew it wasn't true. We knew it wasn't true, and yet we would say it because we were trying to just shove them off. And we were trying to show that those words don't hurt me. Yet all of us have grown up wounded, hurt, sometimes destroyed by what other people have said to us. Words are powerful. Words are very, very powerful. See, the whole thing what Jesus is saying is he's trying to show us this is what God's attitude towards us is. He cares about every part of our lives. And if God cares about every part of our lives, and when all of a sudden we massacre somebody with our words, when we destroy somebody with our unkind thoughts or our unkind verbiage, you know, or our outbursts, when we destroy somebody else because words do hurt, and when we don't control that issue inside of us, that anger inside of us, and we use it to hurt somebody else, Jesus says, you're murdering them. You're killing them. And as Christians, we need to be very, much more careful because we know this. And yet, you know what? We aren't. It's weird, but we aren't. You know, when we fail to esteem somebody who God highly esteems, and who does God highly esteem? Everybody. And when we fail to, because all of a sudden they don't meet our expectations, they didn't do what we wanted them to do, they responded in a way we didn't want them to respond. All right, and then all of a sudden, because of that, then we feel like we have the right, really, to destroy them with our words. We can't take this lightly, you know. And I mean, as I was reading it this week, I was dealing with my own issue with my daughter's boyfriend, and I had people pray for me last week, and I'm just so glad. And yet I just realized, Lord, this is my issue. I need to deal with this. See, Jesus not only does he talk about this attitude that at times, attitude of anger. We're going to talk about that. But he talks about the judgment then that will come upon people who respond and who don't deal with it. All right? The judgment. He says they're guilty before the court. They're guilty before the Supreme Court. Guilty enough to go into fiery hell is what Jesus said. Because people don't deal with this thing called anger. They don't deal with this thing called anger. Now, the name of this sermon is Be Angry, but Don't Sin. Did Jesus get angry? Jesus got angry, all right? Jesus got very angry. Most of the time he got angry with injustice. He got angry with hypocrisy. He got angry with people basically teaching something that was false about his father. He got very angry about those things. Very angry. But he did he get angry when people mocked him? Don't think so. Did he get angry when they grabbed him on that night and beat on him for no reason? No. What did he say? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. So it wasn't so much in protection of him. There's a reason to get angry, and I think we should get angry over injustice. We should get angry over just when we see things that are just wrong. But as far as protecting ourselves, I think there's something else we need to do about that. But why do we get angry? Why do we get angry? Well, first I think we get angry when somebody directly wrongs or sins against us by some type of offense. I think we do. We get angry. We just, this thing comes up in us. Right? Somebody they do something, we go, you did that on purpose. You know, when we feel like somebody's directly wronged us. They singled us out. You know? And all of a sudden they did something, you just go, why did you take credit for that when I did it? You know? And all of a sudden it frustrates us. You know, somebody, they directly do something, they sin against us. We all have stories. I'd probably ask everybody here, just stories. You guys all have stories about why I got mad. Because this person did this. They took this from me. They stole this from me. You know, and we get angry. They spoke about me. They impugned my character. They talked about, they shared stuff about me that wasn't true to other people. Now other people have that in their brain. About what I do and how I act. That makes me mad. Not you guys, though. All right? So, we get angry when somebody does something to us, so we feel like that was a direct thing against me. Second, we become angry due to another person's neglect. All right? Or what we perceive would be an appropriate action towards us, how they should have acted. Often happens in marriages, right? Where we forget birthdays or anniversaries, or it's mostly the guy. You know, but whatever. You know, I forgot. Sorry, my bad. You know, but the thing is that we do things, and then all of a sudden we feel like, I'm not important. I don't feel important to you. Somebody who you think should be treating you with respect or honor or something like that, and they don't. You just go, what am I? Meatloaf, we say those things, right? You know, we're all of a sudden we feel like I've been. Why did you diss me like that? What's up? You know, you just kind of you didn't even think about what I might want to do. You just made decisions without even consulting me. You didn't care. I mean, that's what I feel like. I feel like you don't care about my thoughts, my desires, what I would want to do. And so we get angry, right? We get upset. We get upset about that. Third thing why we become angry is when somebody tramples on our personal rights. When somebody tramples on our personal rights, you know, or treats us as though we have no value or worth. When somebody tramples on, you know, they take advantage of what I believe this is what is appropriately due me, and yet you're taking it away. I don't get it. Why? But they trample on just my, to where all of a sudden I don't have any value anymore. We get upset about that. All of us do. Jesus never got angry when he was attacked himself, or slandered, or even hung on the cross. You know, but we do. That's why it says, we can get angry, but don't sin. Okay, how do you do that? How do you do it when people are so goofy, when people do stupid things, how do you get angry and don't sin? How do you get angry and don't sin? He says, be angry and don't sin. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath and give place to the devil. What's up with that? Don't let the sun go down in your anger? Wow. And give place to the devil? Really? It never happens. More than once a week. Okay. We're not to go to bed angry. I've known couples that they've made commitments to each other, and I've encouraged couples when I do all this premarital counseling that I do. I encourage couples, I say, some people have made this commitment to each other, because usually anger is how you deal with anger. You know, we talk about that in our premarital classes, but some people make commitments to say, we will not go to bed angry with each other. That's a huge commitment. If you've ever been married, huge, huge. It's like it's not fair sometimes, all right? Because you think, I want to. But they've made a commitment, said, I will not go to bed angry with you. And they deal with it. They deal with it. You know, until they can each say, I love you, I'm for you, I'm upset about the situation, but I'm in love with you. That's incredible. That's incredible. Jesus talks about degrees of anger here. He talks about degrees of anger. He says there's three degrees of anger here. He says there's an anger that's a non-verbal concealed emotion. All right? Non-verbal. Non-verbal. All right? You ever notice those? You know, to where all of a sudden you just stare. And you shake. You know? But to where all of a sudden when somebody... You know, where this nonverbal, where all of a sudden you see somebody and you're seething inside of you. They've done something, and instead of saying something to them, you just, the silent treatment, all right? Ever experienced that? Ever done it yourself? You know, Jesus said, this is wrong. This type of anger is very wrong. You think that you're concealing it in your heart, and yet it's showing all over your face. Everybody knows it, you know, especially God. But you haven't said anything, so you're okay. Not okay? You're not okay. It's wrong. It's totally wrong. You know, you're silent, and your silence now is demonstrating that, one, you don't care about the other person because you're not wanting to communicate about it. Afraid of what I'm going to say. Just don't want it. You know, to where all of a sudden this thing just seething, just kind of going on inside of you. But Jesus said, hey, there's that type of anger. That type of anger. It's like murder in your heart. You have that type of anger. You have that type of anger. It's like you're murdering the other person. You're killing them. Because you're not giving them value. You think you're being so good about not saying anything, and yet there's just seething going on inside of you. And you're destroying, you're personally assassinating that person in your own spirit. Jesus said, that's wrong. He says, you're in danger of judgment. Just for having that thing going on inside. Well, what do you mean? You mean I can't get mad at people? Are people our enemy? The devil's the enemy. People are not our enemy. People are just people. They're just as goofed up as you and me, right? They do just as goofy things as you and I do. They make just as many mistakes as you and I do. They're just as imperfect as you and I. They aren't our enemy. The devil's our enemy. So it says we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, right? We don't fight people. We're really good at it, but we're not supposed to do it. So there's a nonverbal concealed emotion. Jesus said, that's not good, because what you're doing, you're killing that person. And that nonverbal type of attitude, it kind of looks for ways to express its animosity, you know? Slamming the dishes down or the pots and pans and just kind of stomping around and right? I'm not saying anything though. That's an anger that shouldn't be. It's wrong. We're frustrated, and so that's how we act. Second type of anger. He says somebody calls his brother Raka. Raka. What's Raka mean? You know? Rocks in your head. What's wrong, you dummy? You know? That's really what it means, you know? Something for brains, you know, whatever. You know? You know, it's like mocking somebody. But it says it's a verbal outburst. It's a verbal outburst. So what's wrong? Nothing. You know, now it's directed at a person. Now I'll say it's a verbal outburst. It's directed at a person. It means like, you numbskull, you knucklehead, what's wrong with you? You know? There's people driving in front of me. What's wrong with you? Why are you doing that? You know? I have to deal with my heart every time I get into a car. You know that? I really do. Because there's issues going on inside of here. I have to drive with all the knuckleheads on the street, you know? And I, oh God, my heart is so desperately wicked. So bad. So bad. You know, and I know that it's just, God, you've got to deal with me. Got to deal with me. But when somebody is saying that, it's like, I have contempt for you. You know, it's just like, oh God, just can't believe you're doing that again. You know, and it's an expression of contempt in our heart, because we know somebody so well. You know, you know this is true, right? Everybody's heard that one, that familiarity breeds contempt or intimacy. Yeah. It breeds either intimacy or contempt. The more you know somebody, the more you know about somebody, you either become more intimate with that person, you know, more revealed who you are and what's going on, or you will begin to, those things just begin to bug the crud out of you. Right? And it's not something we can just leave unchecked in our life. It's wrong. It's wrong because it's a devaluation of something God highly values, of somebody that God highly cares for. And it's wrong. Because what we're doing, you know, when we do that, it's like we're taking away their just your human dignity. We're being unkind in what we're, how we're communicating, what we're sharing. Okay, so then there's a third thing. He says, you fool. That's an outburst. Anger is an outburst, but now it's with intent. Now it's with intent. Now I'm attacking somebody's character. Jesus said, man, if you say to somebody, you fool, you fool, it says you shall be in danger of hell's fire. Because all of a sudden now, I'm saying, I wish you were never born. You're a total waste of space on this earth. Why are you sucking up the air? Right? Right? Because now all of a sudden you're attacking somebody's, the very character of the essence of who they are. Jesus said, you're in danger because God highly esteems every individual on this earth. And when we think we have the right to just that type of assassination, we are murdering somebody. We're killing them. We're killing them. You know, we say, you're such a fool. You're such a jerk. Huh? You know, I wish you were dead. It's never come out of any of your mouths. You know, but it's one of those things where all of a sudden God, Jesus is saying, this is a stuff that's inside of us that's from the fall that's wrong that needs to be dealt with. It needs to be dealt with. Jesus said, and that's kind of like what they say, it's kind of called heart murder. Heart murder is really what it is. It's murder of the heart. And Jesus said, you know, there are three capital punishments that they had, and each was worse than the next. The first was beheading, which was inflicted by judgment. That was the first thing he said, you know. The second was stoning by the council or the Sanhedrin. And the next one was a burning in the valley of the son of Hinnom or Gehenna, you know, which was where they threw all the trash and it just continued to burn. And people actually were thrown down there for just horrible, horrible crimes. And Jesus said, you know what? That's where we need to deal with this stuff because there are horrible judgments on it. So serious was this whole thing with anger that Jesus gave these two, then he gave two different examples of how we need to deal with this and why it's so bad. He says, man, if you're in worship and you know that somebody else has something against you. That's why I crack up. I just say, really, Lord? If I know that somebody, because I've done something and I haven't repented for, you know, I'm fine with that person, doesn't matter. But you know what? They're still upset with me. Jesus said, if you're in worship, it's better just to leave, go get right, and then come back and worship. Because Jesus is saying, this thing is so important. Relationships are so important to him. That if we know somebody has something against us, wow, we need to deal with it. We need to deal with it. Anger is a learned trait. Okay? Anger is a learned trait. I've heard people say, I can't control my anger. Liar. You know, the thing is, we can control our anger. It's learned. God calls us to control our anger. It says in Proverbs 29:11, it says, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. And relationships, I missed one. Relationships must be dealt with quickly. Relationships, if you have a relationship that's out of order, it must be dealt with quickly. That's what those two examples are both about. Dealing with our relationships quickly. But anger is a learned trait. And when people say I can't control their anger, that means I don't want to control my anger. I don't want to. But don't say you can't. You know, and a perfect example is all of a sudden, you're in a fight with somebody at your house, right? Might be your spouse, might be your child, might be whoever, you know, somebody at your house. All of a sudden the phone rings. Oh, hi, Marge, how are you doing? How's everything going? Yeah, that's fine. All of a sudden you can control your anger. Wow, how's that happen? But I was just so mad just a second ago. Oh! You can't control it. You know, we can't control, because it's a learned behavior, and we've learned that sometimes our anger, with our anger, we control other people, which is wrong. But we've learned how to use it to do that. Right? We need to stop it. We need to stop. Jesus says we're not supposed to allow our tongues to control situations. You know, just because we feel like our voice is louder than the other person's. Wrong. Now, because it's learned behavior, it can be unlearned. That's a good thing, all right? Yeah, but it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. This isn't a trick, all right? It's not a trick. It's not a trick. Anger is a choice. Anger is a choice. This is probably, I mean, if we were talking about anger, this one right here, I could talk for you, with you for a very long time about. You know, I'm totally convinced anger is a choice. I believe that God has given us things that are ours. My feelings are mine. My attitudes are mine. My behaviors are mine. You can't take those away from me. Can you influence those? If I let you. But they're mine. My anger is mine. Somebody else could walk through a similar situation and not get angry. So what's up with that? They aren't as sensitive as I am. They aren't as spiritual as I am. Whatever. All right? The thing is, anger is a choice. My feelings are my choice. Somebody cannot make me angry. I choose to get angry over what somebody has done. But it's my choice. If somebody can make me angry, they are God in my life. Right? Because now all of a sudden they're controlling an emotion that God gave me that was mine. Do you understand that? That's huge. That's huge. I remember with my daughter. My daughter one time, she had just was being a 15-year-old brat, all right? I remember this, you know, when they're 15. And she was just saying, I can't do that, I can't do that, you can't, you know. And I remember I got so angry that I actually dragged her downstairs. She said there wasn't something in the refrigerator that there was. And I dragged her downstairs and opened the refrigerator. And she ran up to her room crying. I said, I followed her up there, you know, followed her upstairs and, you made me so angry. She looked at me and she goes, it's your choice, Dad. You got angry by yourself. And I went, oh, you're right. Anger is a choice. It's your choice to get angry. It's your choice to hold on to anger. It's your choice. I can't say, Tammy, you made me. No, I can't say you made me angry. I can't say that. That's just not truth. Because if I said that, that'd make that person such a high, they'd be like God, like I said, God in my life. So you need to realize this. Your anger is your choice. It's a learned trait, but it's also a choice that you make. Because other people cannot control your feelings. If they can, they are God. They can't control your behavior. You can't say, I put that hole in the wall because you made me so angry. No, you put that hole in the wall because you were just a bonehead and you just decided to just work with your anger and just kind of go and you didn't want to hit me, so you hit the wall. All right? That's all your issues. Your behavior, my behavior is my issue. Your behavior is yours. Your attitude is yours. Your feelings are yours. Got it? Okay. Anger in our life shows priority. It shows priority. You know, it shows who's really important, what's really important in our lives. Even though it's our choice, it's still a priority. It shows priority. Why doesn't the guy in the office tell his boss, man, you are so full of it. Yes, you're an idiot. Why did you do that again? Why doesn't the guy in the office do that? He'll get fired.
Well, yeah.
So you know what? Money is his priority. I'm not going to share that stuff because, man, I care about the money. I care about... And so, but yet, we feel at times with spouses or with other people who know us really well, they'll forgive us. So it's okay. It's not okay. It's wrong. That's all. It's wrong. Like I said, I was dealing with my own realizing that one, because I was angry with the boy who basically he and my daughter had sex and they never having a child, and I'm excited about the baby coming. But I was mad at him. Just mad. Till I realized, you know what, he's not my enemy. He's not my enemy. He's the boy with hormones. Right? And if I was that age and I saw my daughter, I'd have those same hormones. You know? And I just realized, you know what, he's not my enemy. He just needs Jesus just like I do. So I'm upset with the way the enemy used him in this situation, but I you know what? Not him. I can get upset with how the enemy does things in people's lives. Yes. But he's the one that I'm upset with. But it's not people. Not people. Okay, how do we deal with our anger? You know, don't vent externally, don't restrain internally. We must ask God to help us hold back, not hold in our anger. We must ask, we've got to say, God, help me. Help me. It's there. Help me to hold back, not hold it in, not to worry, just stuffing it. Then we must learn how to release our anger under control. To where all of a sudden it's placed in the right place. You know, it's learning, okay, I'm upset. Why am I upset? Why is this so upsetting to me? Because it's an issue that needs to be dealt with. All right? It's good to get angry about something. Sometimes I get angry at myself because I'm not disciplined. But what that does, it spurs me on to doing things that'll be more disciplined. So anger sometimes can have that type of effect in my life. But when I put it against somebody else, it's not good. You know? But the key to dealing with anger is to turn the anger to the problem, not towards others, not towards myself. Towards the problem. What's the issue here? How can we deal with this issue? This is really, it frustrates me every time we come to this place. We need to deal with the issue. Not with you as a person, not with my shortcomings, your shortcomings. How would you deal with this thing? You know, it involves confrontation. Confrontation is to help others to solve a problem, not to embarrass them or to hurt them. And when we're accusing them with our voice and with our words because we're trying to make them see how wrong they are, all right? That's not God's heart. That's embarrassing them or you're trying to put them down. Instead of saying, how do we deal with this problem? How do we deal with this issue? Like I said, I've been dealing with my own stuff and realizing, I mean, if I say anything that makes any sense to you today, it's that one, we have a choice with how we feel and how we deal with people. Jesus was saying that. Jesus was telling us that. I'm either going to let my anger control me or I'm going to control it. It's a feeling, it's mine. It's a feeling and it's yours. And if we use it to assassinate people, Jesus says we're killing them. We're killing them. Just be wise with how we respond to people, realizing that, well, you know what? Jesus died for all of them, all of us. He died for people. He died for broken people. Just be upset with what the enemy's doing. Be upset even with people's, at times, how the enemy uses their responses and even our own responses. But it's how the enemy's using our weaknesses. It's him who we're upset with. Not people. Not people. Let's pray. Father, Lord, anger is such a huge subject. Murder is a big subject, God. And Lord, if we were all to take even the seriousness of what you're saying here in these scriptures, we realize we've all committed and are guilty of violating the sixth commandment. Because Lord, we have murdered people in our minds. We've murdered people with our words. God, we have assassinated people with just our attitudes and at times just how we treat them. And Father, all we can do is just fall down and just say, have mercy on us, oh God. Help us to be wise in what we say and be mindful that, Lord, every idle word that we've spoken, everything that we just did just seems to fly out of our mouths. Your word says that we will be judged for. Recognizing that one, you took basically all the result of our sins on yourself at the cross, and yet, Lord, being your followers, we don't want to respond like that any longer. So by your grace, God, teach us how to respond with your heart and realize that our lives and other people's lives, they really do matter to you.